Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth follow-up episode. I just like this tidbit of information coming from this same interview that I've already spoken of. This is, let me get this right, off the Epoch TV interview that I discussed and had kind of a brief, quick rant of truth on it with a Delano. And her name, let me see if I can briefly get up here and then back to the part I was trying to get. American Thought Leaders series on epochtimes.com, a video, What the Mental Health Industry Doesn't Tell You, Laura Delano, Unshrunk, a story of psychiatric treatment resistance. Now, hopefully I can find the part I was looking for. Give me just a moment. Now, let me preface this. This is Miss Delano talking about what changed her mind and made her realize that this is a system of control. I'm talking about the general, when you're deep into the mental health issues, type of a interface that you have with the system. But first, let me preface this with, I'm not one of those people at all who just think, what are you, stupid? You're only going to get in your own way. And I don't have any empathy at all. I definitely am not that. Let me explain a brief bit of background that, while I'm not going to go into it, we'll hope you understand that that's true. I've had a loved one that has been, I'm so scared they may have committed suicide that I call the local, 911 and have them show up. And then I show up and tears are streaming down my face because they have the person on the way into the ambulance, but at least I know they're alive. And I've thought, because of a non-response, that perhaps they weren't, and based on the last communication. So I've been there, and I do empathize as someone who has a logical brain, but also understands how the world works. Secondly, I empathize with being so far down the hole that you feel like you can't breathe and that you shouldn't even take another breath. I've been there. Well, it has never manifested to me saying out loud to anybody else, I should just end it. I have said that to myself. And almost immediately I say, no. But I have been in periods of days and weeks where, while I don't go there, I also go, I don't know what to do. I am literally paralyzed with paralyzed from decision-making, even next steps outside of barely floating, barely just letting my debts roll up further, and just not knowing what to do to improve my life. So that is the place I'm coming from. I am not the guy who came from the perfect family, and therefore, I just never, ever, ever let myself think anybody who's had any problems is, they're just not taking advantage of life. I've had really down periods where I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know how to connect to my support group. So that's where I'm coming from. However, with that, I want to, talk about Miss Delano and another great thought that she has in this interview. And so, as she talked about, I did say it was suicidal. And then my psychiatrist said, maybe like a, in-house treatment would be better for you. And she goes, yeah, that's great. Let me go get my stuff and I'll come back. And he said, you will not go get your stuff. And so she talks about, yeah, I get it. They have all this liability on them. And that's true. But so I'm going to kind of quote some of this basic part. Yeah, I understand his logic. He had no choice but to incarcerate me against my will, legally and ethically mandated. So we've put this real responsibility, now I'm paraphrasing a bit, to prevent death. You know, they're obligated to put your safety over anything else. And I don't think that's fair. And she says that, you know, if a lot of these psychiatrists and psychologists who have the power to basically incarcerate you didn't have this liability issue, you know, maybe they'd be willing to hang in there a bit longer. Quote, they might be willing to ask more questions, to be curious and to be open to talking about suicide, but they don't have that opportunity. The way the whole mental health industry is set up and the legal power that we've given to doctors makes it impossible for them to do this. And this is the next key part I want to talk about. Having now spent 15 years on the other side, and I'm not because I'm condescending to people, I'm out of my quote now, but because I think it's a great point, it's a great emphasis, it's a great reminder. So repeating again then, having now spent 15 years on the other side, outside of the mental health industry, having spent hours with suicidal people, I have found that when someone is in that state, often what they need most is to be heard. They need to be able to talk about all the things that are making it such that they don't want to be alive anymore. They need to be able to talk about death and why it's calling to them. And this is the most important part of this quote here. When we shut down that space and say panic mode, incarcerate the person, medicate the person, ironically, it ends up making a lot of people more suicidal because they feel even more alone with their struggles. I just thought that that was so key and so powerful. In all of its various factors, again, I'm not talking about the whole thing going around, you know, and that she's eventually going to talk about. I'm not talking about big picture. I don't know what the solution is. You know, we have such a litigious society. And as a society gets worse and worse economically and things are less and less distributed and less equal, and you get the shark class as a result, and the, you know, worse income distribution means more people are trying to scam and do things like litigiousness and the like. So I don't know what the answer is. I just want to point out that aspect and that point and that issue. So I hope to be, you know, looking more and more into this. And I'll be curious as to whether she talks about the, you know, side effects in here. As I mentioned last time I mentioned this interview, I'd be curious if she talks about those. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.